they're very private people, but they're always available to talk. I only talk to them when it's really worthwhile. So, and I, to be honest with you, one day in the future, I might like to go and visit them actually, because I, you know, when I first saw Daniel Ezzedine, he was in hospital, and that was shocking. I've never, ever, ever been into a ward where somebody isn't, you know, on life support. And so, of course, I'll never forget that. And then the next time I saw him, he was better. He was able to, you know, he was propping himself up in bed, but not able to talk. And then seeing the photograph of him, which the recent photograph, it made me sad, but I was pleased to see that he'd made this remarkable recovery from being given a 30% chance of survival. And when you look at him, he looks a lot better than he was, but obviously he can't speak properly and can't walk without assistance. So, but yes, one day I would like to go and visit them. I know that they would allow me to do that.
Yeah, that would be really, really lovely. How much then, can you just give us a sense of how much this money that's been raised so far, and obviously we're hoping the total will keep going up, how much is that going to mean to the family?
Yeah, I think it will. They're very private, as I said, and very, very humble people. But I'm not too sure about, you know, I was looking online about the difference between NHS in UK compared to Germany. And I think, you know, that it's very similar. But obviously, if it happened to somebody in this country, a British-born person, they would still have to pay some money towards looking after him and caring for him. The NHS can't pay for everything. So and because it's you know, he's going to be like this for most of his life. That's the fact. So even if it pays for one thing that can help him with, they are very, very grateful. And more importantly, I think I hope that the people in Germany, because it made the news in Germany, national news, I hope that they find out about the contributions from people of Canterbury, and not let that stain, you know, whenever they hear about Canterbury, or perhaps parents thinking about sending their children, they've heard about this awful incident, but they'll realize, okay, well, the true people of Canterbury, you know, want to help and won't forget about it.
You call it there a stain. Do you think it has left a permanent mark on the city?
Well, had it not been for, if COVID, the pandemic had not happened last year, I just wondered about the school in general, if they would have sent back any students, because I'm sure that school who he was with had come before. There's no question they would have come before. And, you know, it's maybe they saw it as a one-off incident. But I've, you know, things like that do go around. Teachers and parents understandably are anxious. So I think, yes, in a way it has. I mean, things like incidents like that are reported online and they stay online, and people can easily read about it. But then, as I said, the reaction from the people of Canterbury, the fundraising and the march that followed, you know, which was very much related to anti-racism, that was a great reaction. So hopefully that stain is, you know, it's not so, it doesn't tarnish the city's reputation.